The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. On the open line today, call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at maxradio.com. Big day tomorrow. Of course, it's budget day tomorrow. And this time next week, Monday 23rd, the Treasury Minister, Chris Thomas, will be on Man in Line. Going to think of something to say next Monday. Anyway, in the meantime, you and me through till one. And Alan's first with us today. Hi, Alan.
Yes, hello there. Yes, I'd just like to talk about the excellent video that's been put up by Charles Gard on the horse trams, Douglas horse trams.
He's not happy, is he? He's not happy.
He's not a happy bunny. It's very well done. He's very funny, you know. And I encourage anybody that's interested at all in Manx politics to watch it.
What's your opinion of where we are with the horse trams, Alan?
Well, it's disgusting. I mean, it's Kimmel's want to get the horse trams all the way over to the sea terminal, and they just haven't done it. It doesn't cost a fortune to do it. They put money into all sorts of fancy affairs and spend their time devoting their time to things like the bishop's boat and things like that, and they've just not put their attention on the horse trams. It's just disgusting.
Why do you think that is, Alan?
Well, it's because they just don't have the will. I mean, they don't care about Manx heritage. It's a unique service, the horse trams. It's
the only one in the world.
Doing.
I mean, Charles goes to great lengths to point out it's a world. It's exclusive in the world. It's unique in the world. Nobody else has got what we've got, and yet we seem sort of content for it to finish at the war memorial.
It's just ridiculous, and the it's almost half number now of people using those horse trams that were using it previously.
So why do you think this is? I mean, do you think there are some members within Timbald or perhaps senior civil servants who are determined that it's not going to happen and they'll just kick it into the long grass till we all get bored with it?
I have no idea why. There's just no excuse for it.
OK, what will you be saying to your prospective MHK when they come knocking on your door in August and September?
Well, my prospective MHK at the moment is Sarah Maltby, and she has released a statement to Manx News, the Manx News website. I don't like to advertise other news websites, but she said, you know, that even before she became an MHK, she was talking about the importance of the Manx horse trams, and saying that, you know, it's ridiculous. She was told as a new MHK, but there was no need for her to put forward a motion, that it was all in hand and absolutely nothing's being done. You know, she, like everybody else, has just been sold up the swanny.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate your call, Alan.
The website is on Manx News, and it's under Politicians Have Trashed Our Heritage.
Okay.
Very good, and I recommend watch it.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling today, Alan. Let's go to Howard with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. I think that Charles Gard thing is on YouTube as well. I saw something of it the other night. I haven't watched it, but I will do. But he's quite right in what he says in Douglas Head should be a conservation area, simply because apart from what we have as the obscura, there's the where you are in the studios there, that was has a lot of history in the last war, where there was a radar training station, and I've got photographs of Nissen Huts and everyone that were there. And then you move round the corner to the little amphitheatre, and I can remember the concerts in there, because we used to go up as kids and sit and listen to the concerts.
Yeah.
And then a little further round, we got the old toll gates, etc. Well, it's not so very long ago that the DOI, in their wisdom, wanted to close that to vehicular traffic.
Yeah.
And make it just walking area, parking on Douglas Head, which at the moment is still only a two-hour park, so you don't get much of a walk. So that whole area should be retained as a conservation area.
I think, Howard, what we've got to do is make our minds up whether we're in the heritage business or not, because, as you say, there's a Camera Obscura. The old Foggy's restaurant, that was a World War II lookout, which is now the plush flats. As you say, there's HMS Valkyrie, where I'm sitting at the moment, the amphitheatre, and, of course, the trams. On Marine Drive, the trams used to. You could walk up here and not know any of that at all. You'll see the very bright green and white Camera Obscura, but everything else, you'll have to lick your finger and stick it in the air.
Yep. Well, to say that amphitheatre, as a child, I used to go up there with my mother and father, and then as I was older, and went up on our own, and they had the concerts. There was a nine-hole golf course there and all, because my great-auntie used to be used to caddy for it.
Well, that was for the Fort Anna Hotel, as you say, and the gap is still in the hedge there where they used to walk from the Fort Anna, which is now headquarters to some advocates or whatever, you know, and I think the shipping company is there as well. But funny enough, out of our office windows, we can still see the remnants of the greens on the golf course.
Yep, you will do. That goes right the way out to the Pigeon Stream, because I used to walk our dog out there at one time, and there'd been a fire in the gorse, and there were dozens of the old-fashioned golf balls. They'd been burnt, and they were useless, but it's where they'd slice them into the greenery, into long grass, etc. And as I say, that was all part and parcel of what was the tourist trade. We got the old cable railway that used to run up through. The last time I saw anything trimmed and cut there was it was prisoners. They cut it all down, made it tidy, now it's grown back. But, people are so quick to get rid of it.
Howard, I get letters and emails all the time about this, that there are bits of the Isle of Man that are just crumbling away and falling off. And if we are going to, do heritage, and somebody just emailed in to say, yes, there's the funicular railway and the Port Skillion swimming pool, the Port Skillion Sea swimming area that used to be there as well. And we've got the old lighthouse. So there's an enormous amount on Douglas Head. If only we had two pavements. We've only got one pavement at the moment because the other one's completely overgrown.
Yep. And as I say, with the likes of where the Port Skillion, that was one of the first open-air swimmer pools in Britain. And apparently, well, from what I'm led to believe, and it was a serious amount of money, it was about £3,000, and it was men-only bathing. The ladies were not allowed to bathe until much later on. There's all these different things that, as Charles said, well, he's in a classic position where Sir Clive Edwards' Milltown House, I can remember that. I remember delivering oil up there for him. When I was with Manx Petroleums, and only for the people that took over and volunteers, etc., that place, well, that could have been anything now, demolished and something else built. But Sir Clive, he lived there and he loved the island, you know, and these are the people that are, their memories have been slowly destroyed. It's sad. There's one we were talking about the other day, that classic example of the boating pool down at Port St. Mary, gone. And people coming to the island now will never know there was anything there. There's so many things that have gradually been destroyed. And as you've just been talking about to that chap previous, a very important part of our heritage has been decimated, the horse trams. You know, that should never have been allowed to get to the state it is, where it's only half a horse tram. We keep referring to our horse tram, half horse tram. And, you know, all round Douglas Head and all round that there. Okay, we had a lot of tourist people coming over. And it is a place where you see children going up to enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And the corporation, they keep it neat, and, well, within reason. And the barbecues and everything there, that's what it should be for, yeah. The people. Not necessarily of Douglas.
I have to say, hats off to Douglas Corporation, because they always keep the string of pearls, the lights there, which at dusk look absolutely fantastic.
Well, you mentioned the other day when you're looking out your window that you see a crowd of daffodils.
Yeah.
Well, I can say this, I put them there over 30 years ago in memory of my mother and father, along with a bench.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I planted them. There's about 100 kilo of daffs went in there. And this is where the people on the island, only once in all those 30 years has there been any damage done to them. And that, in a sense, it was Mother's Day and there's some children picking them, which I didn't mind. But people respect things. And this is what Charles is saying. Respect what you have. Don't destroy it.
Well, you just wonder, and people scratch their heads and wonder what the situation is with the horse trams. And it's almost as though if people are against it, if there are people in authority that don't want it, are firmly of the view that we shouldn't have them, that they're old hat and we should be moving on, people just say, we wish they'd say so. Whether it's senior civil servants, whether it's elected politicians, if you don't want the horse trams, put your hand up and tell everybody.
But they won't. They don't have the courage for that. That's the problem. Anybody that has an opinion of that ilk should stand up and what they say to be counted. But they do not have the courage. They will mouth off and run things down, and then once it's gone, they'll be first in the queue to say, well, we should have saved it. And, you know, there's so much of the bits of... I was cutting the gorse background by the camera obscura one day, and I come across a concrete block, and it had the arrow on it for the War Department, and number 3. And it turned out that land was requisitioned all up there, and it was one of several markers marking the boundaries of where the land was requisitioned, and it's still there. You won't walk away with it. It's too heavy and it's buried in the ground. But that's all part of the things that have been allowed to be overgrown.
Well,
so it's, you know,
at some point we have to make our minds up. Are we in the heritage business or are we not? And obviously Manx National Heritage are hemmed in by financial constraints as well. They can only do what they can do.
Well, we have to make our mind up whether we're the Isle of Man, where our difference makes a difference, or a borough off somewhere in Merseyside, okay. The UK. That's what's happening. We're transferring our allegiance from the Isle of Man gradually to the UK. And the next thing, there'll be a call for the MHKs and people saying that, let's get rid of Tynwald. Well, you mentioned the other day about it being of a Norse origin.
Yeah.
Thingvoll.
Yeah, yeah.
Thingvoll. And there is a Tynwald in Merseyside up there in the northwest. And again, it has the same origins. Thingvoll. Meeting point.
Yeah. Okay.
So, as I say, I'm getting old enough now, and by the time, well, the heritage, I'll be part of it. But history is your future, because you can plan on your history. It's gone, but it's still relevant.
All right. Howard, 6 weeks this Friday is Good Friday. You know what I'm going to ask, don't you?
Yes, well, with a bit of luck, we should be open. I'll be going up in the very near future to do a bit of work up there, clean the lenses and everything. And that thing there, 1892. Now, there's heritage. And that thing is a masterpiece of engineering.
Right.
Because all those lenses in there, well, there was no computers, no lasers or nothing. They were hand ground. And as I say, that the chap that had that, and one of the girls that comes up there to do voluntary, she was in London and went to a museum down there and found, because that camera obscura was actually patented in 1891, and she was able to obtain a copy of the patent, which we have in our possession.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate it, Cole. Thanks for being with us today.
Take care, bye now.
All right, 20 past 12, that is. Yeah, I mentioned it, 6 weeks on Friday. It's Good Friday, so hopefully the Camera Obscura will be open, normally open from Easter onwards. Is Easter early this year, or I can never figure it out. Anyway, I know tomorrow is Pancake Day, and we're giving pancake stuff away all day today. Christy will have some more pancake stuff to give away after 1 o'clock, and it is Robert with us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Well, very well. I'm looking forward to Pancake Day. Are you?
Well, I prefer omelettes, but I know what you mean. Anyway, I was going to call. I put something up on Facebook on one of my previous posts about crosswords, and I didn't hear them walking to Starbucks, but I saw an article in today's Guardian, and this is about Manx Pact, P-A-T-T.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the core reasons for suicide in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real actual attributes for suicide and what it actually means. And it's only £3.20. You know, so if you want to do yourself a favour, any of the teachers or anything like that, then get yourself a Guardian today.
Okay, all right. All right, Robert, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today. What Robert's referring to is an investigation in The Guardian that says that suicides linked to domestic abuse are being massively undercounted. Official figures from the National Police Chiefs Council recorded 90th is in the UK, 98 suspected abuse-related suicides in 2024 compared with 80 partner killings. We've been talking about, and there's been news stories on Max Radio about suicide, and we've talked about it in the past on the Isle of Man. Campaigners want all abuse-linked suicides treated as potential homicides from day one. They want earlier police intervention in high-risk cases and possibly a new law covering suicide caused by domestic abuse. Experts are calling it a national scandal over there, saying many deaths may be preventable and the justice system over there isn't keeping pace. Thank you, Robert, for bringing that up. Charles Gard is reacting to this public consultation. You heard Alan and Howard talking about it. There's a public consultation which was opened on proposals to designate Douglas Head as a conservation area. The move follows earlier consultation feedback in 2021 when 77% of respondents supported the idea. Charles Gard says if it goes ahead, it doesn't mean that nothing can ever be changed, just that greater care would be taken when it comes to planning decisions.
There's just so many things that have happened up here in the last 200 or 300 years. It was the prime place for entertainment. Around the back of Manx Radio here is the old Pierrot Theatre. There's the Camera Obscura. There's the bathing. It's just an iconic place. Tens, hundreds of thousands of people would come up here every year during the height of our tourist industry. And I think because of its profile, that you see it from across the bay when you're coming in on the harbour, I just felt, along with David Wertheim, that it should be a conservation area, which means that any alterations would have to be given special consideration. Like, for example, the large block of flats that has been given permission to be built right in front of Manx Radio. Now, had this been a conservation area, I think there would have been more careful consideration of that.
And this consultation looks for feedback on proposals to designate Douglas Head as a conservation area, like you say. What would that actually mean in practice?
Essentially, it means that all planning must be given a separate or an enhanced overview. If you become a registered building or a conservation area, it's nothing to be frightened of. It doesn't mean you can never do anything. It just means that greater care is taken. And there would be restrictions, yes, and considerations that the profile of the head could only change if it was in greater national interest. Whereas at the moment, if an area isn't a conservation area, like St John's isn't, for example, which is just extraordinary. We've been talking about that for 30 years and never got around to it. Things that can happen there that if it was a conservation area, probably wouldn't. So it's a very valuable way of preserving the heritage we have.
And he knows of what he speaks. That's the heritage campaigner and expert. I'll call him an expert because he knows of what he speaks. Charles Gard, talking about Douglas Head and the role that it has and possibly being a conservation area. Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes, talking about Giles Gard and horse trams. And as I put in an explanation on Facebook to this post on that, the reasons behind it are, once you actually start digging around, they're relatively straightforward. Of course, the monies for the horse tram were voted in by Tim Lord into the project, into the general budget for the prom. Now, of course, Comyn, as I recall, decided to then reallocate that money in order to finish the project because they'd fallen short on the funding. So, Department of Infrastructure would then have to go back to Treasury to ask for the money again, and in doing so they have to present a business case. And of course then the Treasury will turn round, like any other Treasury, and say, no, you've had your money already. And of course DOI said, well, yes, but Tim Wood has voted for it. Well, yes, but the money's been spent. You know, you've gone and bought sweeties and everything, etc., you know, before you should have paid for your dinner money. If you want any more money, then your minister really ought to shout at Comyn and make sure that Comyn provides us with more, with the money to provide to you. But we're not going to give you the same amount of money twice.
So DOI has to find it, is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what the Treasury would say. So this is DOI saying, well, we didn't really choose this. We got told to do it like this and spend the money over there. But right, well, you've had your money then, say the Treasury. And that, I believe, would probably be quite the thing that they really ought to say within financial regulation.
Do you think Bonzo, there's the will within DOI to put the horse trams back to the sea terminal?
I think there is, so long as they have the money to do it. It's not, but it isn't a question of them being told, right, you have to prioritise it and something else has to go. Because then the next time somebody decides to reallocate your budget, then you go back to try and do the same thing and get the money again. But you're told, no, you have to find this. So you're always having to put your hand down the back of the sofa whenever it's convenient to the politicians.
And, your analogy is quite apt as well, because in terms of the overall budget of the Isle of Man, this is change down the back of the sofa. It's a couple of million pounds to put it back.
Oh, it is. But the principle from the Treasury was, if you allow, if you allow people to get the same money twice, then everyone will be doing it. And there'll be no budgetary control.
Yeah.
So that's why they're digging their heels in. However, I would say 2-1 that tomorrow in the budget speech there will be an announcement that somehow it's a special case, and therefore it will happen before September.
Oh, Bonzo, have you got a crystal ball there?
No, just great experience of cynicism.
Okay. All right, appreciate it, Bonzo. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, right, bye.
All right, 29 minutes past 12. Steve dropped a note in. This is 806, Steve, and says, you can reminisce day after day, week after week, year after year. It's not going to take us back to the 50s and 60s. The world has changed, and what people want today is not what they wanted 70 years ago. By all means, restore the horse trams the length of the prom, but getting rose-tinted about the past achieves nothing. Some things were better last century, some things were much worse. We need to look forward in terms of tourism for what people want today. Active holidays, walking, running, cycling and other activity holidays. Good food, like in the Lake District, says Steve. Well, I think we've got walking holidays, haven't we? We've got active holidays, we've got cycling holidays. It's just putting the heritage back, and depends where you draw the line. And there is a line to be drawn. Bonzo makes a good point about the fact that you can't spend money twice. So we have to decide where we put the money for maintaining and promoting our heritage. Where do you draw the line? Who's going to draw the line? And remember, oh, I got a message in from, it was, hello, Willie, who just said, you didn't mention a very important name, and that name is Mervyn Russell Stokes. The man got an MBE for it. I'm sure he didn't want the MBE, because Mervyn Russell Stokes was the man who almost single-handedly saved the Gaiety Theatre. Can you imagine? That was going to be knocked down. And over one weekend, attention was mustered and the Gaiety Theatre was saved. Can you imagine? And it's a good example. If the Gaiety Theatre had gone and all we had were memories of the Gaiety Theatre, the interior, the exterior, the history, Frank Matcham and all that. Imagine if that had gone and all we could say nowadays, oh, next to the Sefton, yeah, we used to have a theatre there. What happened? Oh, it got knocked down.
Looking to make the most of your savings? Cornerstone Bank offer a range of savings options, from fixed terms of 6 months to 3 years to variable rate notice accounts with notice periods of 95 to 180. Days and choose monthly or annual interest, whatever works for you. For the latest rates and an application form, check out cornerstonebank.co.im. Cornerstone Bank, celebrating 90 years of community, heritage and connection. Here for the journey. All deposits are subject to status, terms and conditions apply. No early withdrawals permitted. Qualifying deposits made with Cornerstone Bank are covered by the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010.
Employers, having trouble with staff and need reliable advice? Employees, are you treated fairly in the workplace or do you have a grievance?
The workplace can be problematic on both sides. For any work-related legal issue, contact the employment law experts, Mann Benham. They advise employers and staff on all work-related problems with sound professional advice and a transparent fee policy. To arrange your free consultation at Mann Benham, call today on 639 350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Manx Wild Bird Aid rehabilitates sick, injured and orphaned wild birds right here on the Isle of Man, relying entirely on volunteers and donations. If you find a bird in trouble, contact us on Facebook for advice or to arrange rescue. You can help by volunteering, donating funds or goods, or supporting our fundraising efforts. Visit wildbirdaid.com.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
There's monkeys and meerkats, penguins galore. You can meet with a panda, owls, lemurs and more.
It's half term and the Currax Wildlife Park is open every day. So book your tickets and experiences online now at currackswildlifepark.im.
Former Douglas East MHK Chris Robertshaw has a new political vision for the Isle of Man, describing itself as a movement towards good governance. Future Isle of Man has three core pillars to its thinking. The democratic process, which introduces the concept of holding referenda into our existing system. A unified government which brings government operations together under a single legal entity and the introduction of high-level cross-departmental strategic thinking. Find out more on the agenda this evening at 5:30 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Is the Manx political system fundamentally broken or have we just been really unlucky in the past few years?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
We stayed in the airport the entire night. We were just
27 minutes now before 1 o'clock and Stephen's with us now. Hi, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. Just about the horse trams, I think we've got to look back to when the original conception was up. And if you Google, I think it was 2015, the original plan was a truncated system that was to finish at Broadway. So it would appear to me that there was never the will within that department to go the whole length to the sea terminal. We're missing the bit in the middle, and I'm pretty sure, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was the late Bill Mullarkey that brought a motion to Tynwald to extend the horse trams the full length of the promenade. So I think we've got to go back to why was the original plan accepted? Why wasn't there more objection then? And then when the late Mr. Mullarkey, brought his motion, why wasn't there more notice taken of that? Because that had overwhelming support. So these are some of the issues that I think should be looked at, Andy.
Why do you think it seems like Timbald, or it's whether it's the civil service or the bureaucracy, why do they struggle with the concept of putting a horse tram from the sea terminal to Derby Castle uninterrupted? What's the big deal?
Well, it was never in their plan in the first place. If anybody wants to look, Google the 2015 promenade scheme and where the horse trams were to finish within it. And I don't think there's ever been the will. I stand to be corrected, there's no requirement for a department to implement a motion of Timbald. And I think that's another problem that needs to be looked at. We all think that when motions are brought to Timbald, they're going to be acted upon, but it would appear from this situation they haven't been.
Do you think at some point it is going to happen, Stephen?
Well, unless it's in the budget tomorrow for monies to be allocated to the DOI, or the DOI has gave a plan, a business plan to the Treasury, and they have accepted that funding for the DOI, no. I don't expect it to be completed in the next 12 months.
Okay, all right. We appreciate it, Stephen. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, 24 minutes before one. Was there a weighing scale somewhere around Port Skillion and Douglas Head? I remember something like that 55, 60-odd years ago, says Ali. A weighing scale? Where? Just look at the collapse wall at the Grove Museum car park in Ramsey, says Fran. It had a wooden fence built around it 10 years ago, covered in ivy. I think Julian's with us now. Let me find him. Hi, Julian. Hello.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Well, very well, thanks. I'm glad to see some sunshine anyway.
Yeah, it's nice in that sun. A little bit of warmth coming back into it now. Just quickly on the first bit about heritage, a lot of this, what's gone on, is really to do with political will, isn't it, it seems?
Yeah, you would think so.
So I'm hearing rumours that the Living Hope Church is planning to flood the September Timbald elections with candidates. I wonder how that will be as a complexion on our heritage if people are elected en masse, which perhaps aren't from here and don't share our culture. I wonder what if that is a true rumour. It's just a rumour, but could that affect the way that the island changes over the next
We don't know. I mean, I've heard all sorts of skeet about this, that, and the other about people who might be standing. But remember, people have got to be voted for. They can't just walk in and show up and get a ticket. They do have to get some votes and do some canvassing.
Yeah, that's right. It'll be interesting to know. By the way, the Peter Norris music site, that was demolished, wasn't it, I think, against planning consent. Did anything ever come of that? Because I hear that it's being built on now.
But I think they got some planning permission around it. It's not being built unauthorised, but I think either they were planning to build something that didn't have permission, and now it's all been sorted out, so it's all happening again after they close the road.
Okay. The other bit about healthcare. We spoke the other day about the new consultation on the Public Health Functions and General Public Health Duty Bill 2026 and its proposal to create a new post of Chief Public Health Officer, who would effectively be the Isle of Man Chief Medical Officer as well, and who would give public health advice to Timbald despite no requirement to have any medical knowledge or training. I just noticed the dangers of unqualified people giving advice is evident in the UK, with the revelations that are coming out on the Lucy Letby case. This was the neonatal nurse who was convicted in 2023 of murdering 7 babies and attempting to murder a further 15 at the Countess of Chester Hospital. She was convicted using circumstantial evidence and testimony from an unlicensed, unqualified in neonatology prosecution expert witness called Dewey Evans. Unfortunately for Lucy, her first defence lawyer, Ben Myers, failed to call any expert witnesses, only a plumber who stated that there were long-term issues with sewage leaks, etc. Lucy Letby, fortunately, in September 24, appointed a new defence barrister, Mark McDonald, Now, the reason that this was all going ahead is that original Dewey Evans used a paper that was done in 1985 by a Canadian neonatologist called Professor Shu Lee. The MP David Davis has got involved with this and has contacted Professor Shu Lee, and they constructed a panel of 14 of the top international medical experts in the world to do with neonatology, etc. And they found that all of the baby's deaths were either from natural causes or from substandard clinical care and bacterial contamination at the Countess of Chester Hospital.
What's this got to do with the Isle of Man, Julian?
What I'm concerned about is not only for the staff at Nobles, but also for people on the island and babies on the island, we've got to have people who are qualified in their departments to be able to make accurate assessments. You know, it's looking increasingly like, I mean, pretty damning evidence. If anyone has a look online for Lucy Letby, Dr. Shu Lee, S-H-O-O-L-E-E, there's a two-hour presentation of the panel, including Q&As with Sky News and BBC correspondents. And there's over 50 points that are made that absolutely hammer the prosecution witness and a whole load of other things. But it just concerns me on the island that we're going down a route where the top medical person on the island will be a layman, will not have any qualifications whatsoever in medicine. And it just worries me that, you know, if something bad happened, say Ramsey Cottage, let's suppose some of those rodent droppings had got in somebody's drink up there or something, and it was all covered up and somebody got blamed for it, for example. It's not impossible that that could happen. It just worries me that this bill is suggesting that non-qualified people will be at the very top of the Isle of Man medicine, especially with all the problems that we're having with healthcare over here, with, you know, appointments and all kinds of things.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that, Julian. Good to hear from you. Thanks for being
here. Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Right, 18 minutes before one. I recently reported to Douglas Corporation, Douglas City Council, they are, in fact, with dog fouling in the Borough Cemetery and Nobles Park. Despite the many signs saying no dog fouling and keep your dogs on a lead, the reply from Douglas City Council was, what can they do if the owners ignore the signs and the threat of fines, says Pat. What's the point? I mean, this is... I'm just saying this, by the way, not Pat. What's the point of having a fine if you don't find somebody? You may as well put... It's £1 million fine. If you're not going to find somebody, what's the point of having a sign up? It's a waste of a sign, isn't it? We come back to that, the perpetual story of dog mess. Heritage status is fine, but hopefully, says Ian, the blot on the landscape, the poppy will be removed. I don't know. Ian doesn't like the poppy on Douglas Head. Do you like the poppy? It's unnecessary for 11 months of the year, all because the council is lazy. I'll be honest with you, Ian, I think it's permanent. I don't think it's a temporary thing, and to take it away would probably cost a fortune. I'd be interested to know if you do or don't like the poppy on Douglas Head. You can see it from miles away. But if you've got any thoughts on this, do get in touch. Here's Frank with us now. Hi, Frank.
Hi, mate. How are you doing?
Very well. What about yourself?
I'm very well, sir. I've got a good day today, so I can't complain.
Good.
Right, what I can complain about is the way it's being treated with the horse trams. I mean, I'm not born Manx, but I first came to the Isle of Man in 1961. So I'm class now as Manx, I suppose. And it's a disgrace that they're getting rid of the horse trams. It's terrible what's happening. This people know about the horse trams. In America, all across the world, the people come to see the horse trams. I know we don't get hundreds of thousands of visitors, but that's because it isn't advertised the way it should be. I'm afraid the department that looks after it, you know the one I mean.
It's not the Ministry of Tourism anymore. It's Visit Isle of Man. That's what it's called. Visit Isle of Man.
Yeah. They're supposed to be the people that do it. Over the years, I've given ideas to the Isle of Man to do things. As you know, I've spoken on this radio program before about Miles Standish, but nobody's taken any notice. and that would bring hundreds of thousands of people here, but you don't listen. You never have done. And I don't think they'll listen over the horse trams. It's going to go unless the public get together and do something about it and don't let it disappear. It's our heritage and it's necessary. It's something that we've got that nobody else has got. Can't you understand that? They're idiots that run this place. They couldn't run a bus, let's be honest.
Good to hear from you, Frank. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, I'll speak to you soon. Okay.
All right, yeah, take care now. And Barry said, yes, I love the poppy on Douglas Head. Love it. It shows the world how much we, as a nation, respect the many who gave their lives. So we should keep that on there. Now, there's a problem with transport to the Isle of Man. And travel. Two residents from the Isle of Man say they're hesitant to travel outside of the Isle of Man after they were stranded, left in Amsterdam a few months ago. They were left in Amsterdam because they couldn't get through to the UK. The residents, who are from India but live and work on the Isle of Man, were stopped from returning to the UK because their Isle of Man visas were not linked to the UK system. They were stranded in Amsterdam for 4 days because the UK system doesn't talk to the Isle of Man system. After 4 days, multiple calls to the UK and the Isle of Man government, two trips to The Hague, the issues were rectified. These residents say their anxiety still remains.
Hanging out, sleeping in the Burger King.
Burger King, and it was a horrible experience whatsoever.
We did go to the immigration in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And they were really helpful. They looked at our visas and they're like, oh, this seems like a valid visa. But again, these jet people need confirmation from the UK border force. And they informed us to go to the UK embassy in Hague. And the straight up response was, we can't help you from the UK embassy. And we're like, we're stuck here. So we had to wait for 2 hours. Then two people came down and they got all our passports and all the letters and stuff. And they came back saying that, oh, I think we found the issue. I think the databases are not synced. It's like, okay, can you give us a letter to confirm that we have a valid visa? And they're like, oh, no, we can't do that. I'm like, you're the embassy. You should have the power. And they're like, no, contact the UK VI and ask them to link your Isle of Man visa. And they're like, oh, I don't think you can add Isle of Man visas to the UK immigration account. Contact the Isle of Man government. And we did contact the Isle of Man government, and they were like, immediately they said they're going to look into it. Tuesday morning we did receive a call again back from the Isle of Man government saying that your documents have been sent to the British embassy. So all the way from Amsterdam to Hague we traveled again, and they're like, no, we didn't receive anything. Again we contacted the Isle of Man government and like, just give us some more time, we're going to contact the UK border force. And on Wednesday morning, I think, we got a email confirmation from the border force saying that you're clear to travel. Even when we're traveling back from a home country to the UK, the Heathrow immigration officers, they don't know what's the Isle of Man visa. And every time I had to stand there for 1 hour when other thousands of people just stared at me thinking that I've entered there illegally.
If you have to sum it up, just two main issues. One is the visa stamp. It has to change. It has to be digital, or it can either be a valid stamp, which they don't write it in a pen, which is a very big issue. The second thing is our names has to be updated in the UK system. Otherwise, if there's no link between Isle of Man and UK, they're always not going to have our names in the system, and it's going to reject us wherever we are.
It's a problem. Residents from Germany, from India and South Africa have had problems with this wet ink stamp. More calls are being made for the government to replace the wet ink stamp with an actual visa sticker. The visa sticker is the first to be issued to a person on relocation to the Isle of Man. It's got the individual's name and details, similar to any passport or visa document. A wet ink stamp is issued on renewal of the visa, just a stamp like a library stamp with the words Isle of Man Immigration and a date when the visa's valid. Too. The problem is, outside of the Isle of Man, there are people who don't seem to know what it is. Have you had any experience of this?
You've been talking for weeks. They're funny and they're thoughtful and they say all the right things and...
Babe, I'm stuck abroad. I just need a little money to get home.
And that's the moment. The moment a romance turns into a crime. Scammers build trust, then strike, leaving victims heartbroken and out of pocket. If someone you've never met wants money, think. Protect yourself. Stop communicating with them immediately and report the incident. A message brought to you by Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the Isle of Man Constabulary, and the Cybersecurity Centre for the Isle of Man. Visit csc.gov.im.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.im.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
Open your heart to something genuine. Queen of Hearts offers carefully vetted and screened singles. No swiping, just meaningful matches. Ready for a fresh start? Head to queenofheartsiom.com or WhatsApp 223937 to get started.
Direct Cremation is just that. An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im. Or phone Direct Cremations on 478422.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 8 minutes before one Monday afternoon. Budget day tomorrow, we'll have all the details. And next Monday, a week today, the Treasury Minister, Chris Thomas, will be on Man in Line. So you can have a chat with Chris and he'll explain everything that he's going to be telling Tynwald tomorrow. The Poppy at Douglas said, fantastic. Leave it alone, says Barry. And Juan said, I love the Poppy on Douglas said. It shows the world how much we as a nation respect the many who fell to give us the freedoms we have today. Gaz says, Andy, heritage will matter less and less as more migrants are brought to the Isle of Man to support economic policy. And net zero will make financing heritage less and less likely. Well, surely if we're getting new residents to the Isle of Man, they need to know about our heritage. Just a thought. Regarding the Gaiety Theatre, says 078, what about the actions of amateur groups and the Manx Drama Federation and their huge involvement in saving the Gaiety? What are they doing to help those people needing energy, food and housing instead of wasting time and doing nothing that helps people? Sorry, what was your point, 078? There was a weigh scale outside the villa, says Paul. And 068 says, Charles Gard's right, we're losing so much of our heritage at an alarming rate. One example, the Newsons building. It was one of the oldest buildings in Douglas and was allowed to fall into disrepair. It had been there about 250 years without falling down. Sadly, had little support to save it because it looked tatty, but it should have been preserved, says 068. Well, it was offered free of charge to the government. I mean, the guy who owns it offered it to the government free of charge. The government answer came there none. I'd love to see the horse trams going all the way along the quay to the train station, linking up heritage so you can go from Port Erin to Ramsey on foot, says Peter. And that's really the point about the horse trams. The horse trams don't sit in isolation. They're part of our heritage railway system. Because you can get, and admittedly it is, what, half a mile or so from the steam railway station at Bank Circus to the sea terminal. But that short walk, you know, with including that short walk, will take you from Port Erin to Ramsey on heritage railways. Nobody else in the world has got what we've got. To have horse trams, to have steam railways, to have a mountain railway, an electric railway, let alone all the other small railways, Groudlgen and stuff like that. We've got, for railway enthusiasts, we are a mecca for railway enthusiasts around the world. It's one of those things, you either accept it or you don't. We are unique in the world of railway heritage. I actually agree with Bonzo, says Andrea. The Department of Infrastructure should have been made to find the money for the horse trams, as they'd already been given it. If they'd spent it elsewhere, that's their problem. Why should they get it twice? Maybe it should be given to Manx National Heritage instead. Thank you, Andrea. Well, it's been spent. It got spent on the promenade. Whether or not you think they did a good job with it, that's up to you. I can't understand why they didn't move the horse trams to Ramsey Promenade, and the Moorook would have been a fantastic attraction for Ramsey tourism. Trouble is, there are no cruise liners go to Ramsey, as far as I know. No cruise liners anchor in Ramsey. The point of having the horse trams to the sea terminal is we do get a lot of cruise liners, and they bring in tens of thousands of people. And if they want to get on the horse tram, they've got to leg it up to the bottom of Broadway to get on there to go, what, quarter of a mile up to Derby Castle. So, horse trams or not? Home of the horse trams, the halfway horse trams. If I had a work visa for Australia, I wouldn't be allowed to travel to another country on it. You need a different visa, says Jan. Yeah, Jan, the trouble is that this has been okay up until now. Either something's happened to the UK in their immigration status, but it's people who've got a Manx visa when they're travelling to the Isle of Man via the UK are stopped and basically treated like illegal immigrants. These people have good jobs on the Isle of Man. They pay their tax and they just want to come home. Let's hope the Isle of Man government immigration people will talk to the UK immigration people. And that's it. Back with another open line tomorrow. Thanks to Chris on the phones. Enjoy your Monday.
WINT.